Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's so good to have everybody here as we barrel forward into another week. Trying to be a little bit more cautious than we were the week before and exercise better judgment. Isn't that what we all want to do as we look forward to the week to come? To act with a bit more wisdom and to exercise better judgment. Well, that brings me to the fact that I have to start with some corrections. Correction. Yes, I made mistakes last week. But first, I want to comment on the soundboard here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. We scraped the barnacles off the soundboard for the first time in about probably 3 years. And kind of just tuned things up a little bit. Hopefully it sounds a little bit better. My extremely attractive audio engineer put an enormous amount of effort to making the show sound a little bit better. Last week at the real radio studio where I do real radio, had an awesome brother came in from Alabama and he hooked up a compressor limiter. I know he's listening to the show right now. And he's saying, baby, we gotta plan another trip out there. I can't take it. Doug needs a compressor limiter. Michael, I have a compressor limiter. It's right here. It's in the studio, right here in the bowels of the boiler room here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. I just have not had the... I can't remember why it's not hooked up. It could be a cabling situation. Could be a motivation situation. But, hey, if it gets him back out here, it's worth it. We'll just leave it unhooked, you know. There you go. Corrections from last week. First of all, Lamar Odom, the basketball player who was found unconscious. You remember that story? He was found unconscious in the same whorehouse where the Republican who won the Nevada District 36 Assembly seat. Lamar Odom did not die. He has not died, and he is actually still alive. I apologize if I sent any of his legion of fans who listened to the show heading for Google to find out if Lamar Odom was dead. He's not only is he alive, he's apparently sober and planning to play basketball for Ice Cube in China. Ice Cube has a basketball team in China. All right, and Lamar Odom is also another correction from last week. As I suspected, I did confuse Medicaid with Medicare. In the story, you remember the story I did last week about the Republicans who voted to expand Medicaid in 5 states or 12 states or 19 states, I forget. Basically, red states voting themselves more welfare now. Well, I did confuse Medicaid with Medicare. Medicaid is lawyers robbing your grandchildren and mine to pay for health care and Narcan and needles and syringes. For young slackers and drug addicts is what Medicare. Did I say Medicare? I'm confused again for crying out loud. That's Medicaid. Medicaid is the Narcan and the syringes for young slackers and drug addicts. Birth control pills, things like that. For Medicare, on the other hand, is lawyers robbing your grandchildren and mine so that they can give liver transplants and diabetes pills to old people. That's the difference there. To the grandchildren, it's all the same. To the people being robbed blind, it's all the same. But I want to be clear for all of you people that I made some mistakes last week, and they stand corrected now, as a matter of fact. All right. Now, what else? Is there anything? Do we want to talk about nationalism, patriotism, politics? Well, maybe I should go to the news, and maybe I'll come back to some of my frivolous meandering notes that I scratch down as the week progresses and I get ready to do the show. Now let's start with the war file. Islamists who cannot find and kill Asia Bibi in Pakistan. You remember Asia Bibi? She spent nearly 8 years incarcerated on death row for insulting some Muslim who then accused her of blasphemy, and she ended up on death row. Well, she was acquitted by the Supreme Court, and since then, Islamists have been looking for her to kill her and her family. Well, they've been unable to find her, and now Islamists in Pakistan are just attacking random Christian travelers in Pakistan. Anyone who identifies themselves as a Christian is yanked out of their car and beaten up whenever these crowds get together and go into the whole thing for to kill Asia Bibi. Reporters here at Breitbart say that Pakistan's blasphemy law is often used, get this, is often used to settle personal disputes and vendettas, which is what everyone thinks happened in the Asia Bibi case. And it's also used to take people's property and get people killed, and especially against Christians. Accusations of blasphemy have seen a surge in mob violence and lynchings. Isn't that interesting how the Muslims lynch and riot and start fires when someone insults their prophets? Meanwhile, Christians, I don't know, they videotape Saturday Night Live. So we're definitely a whole different breed. According to Breitbart, followers of Christ make up less than 2% of Pakistan's population. And many Christian families have been in the territory for generations, hundreds of years, even long before Pakistan was declared an Islamic country by a bunch of cowardly Indians. You bunch of pack of cowards letting them have it. All right. So we continue to pray for Asia Bibi, and we hope that Donald Trump and Mike Pence do the right thing, although they're distracted now. Donald Trump, well, do I even want to talk about? Let's not even talk about them. They're distracted. They've got the cabinet falling apart and whatnot. Let's go instead. Let's go to the decline and fall file, where the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of the United States is going to hear a case, possibly this month, to decide what should be done with a cross-shaped memorial. I said a cross-shaped memorial. Yes, it has been alleged that having a cross visible in public is the equivalent of coercing someone to violate their conscience. Just the fact that you might look out your window or drive by and see a cross, the ACLU says that that is coercion to participate in a religion that is inherently offensive and insulting and scary and terrifying. When they get right down to it, it's terrifying. It scares them. So the ACLU is afraid of crosses, and they want to break this cross-shaped memorial off this Maryland memorial to men who died in the First World War. The ACLU wants, and then there's an appeals court that agrees. An appeals court has already ruled that the memorial shaped like a cross violates the First Amendment because it, quote, excessively entangles the government in religion. Jeez. Well, okay. Breitbart reports that this could be a gauge for the conservatism of the Supreme Court. Now that Brett Kavanaugh's on the court, we're just going to find out just how conservative he is with the case of the cross-shaped memorial right there in front of him, front and center. Well, here's the thing, folks. The ACLU says by allowing a cross to be seen in public is inherently offensive and coercive. And here's the thing. The fact that there's a case, the fact that this has gone to law and judges have allowed this to be adjudicated or argued, the fact that this case exists is a sign that all is lost, at least in a secular sense for the United States of America. All is lost. There are certain things that just shouldn't be worthy of argument and debate. And this is one of them. But the fact that it is worthy of argument and debate in the eyes of people at the highest reaches of judicial power in the country, it's a sign that all is lost. That's all. And so that's from the decline and fall file. And we'll move on. I have to comment, ladies and gentlemen, of course, on the Roy Clark situation. Roy Clark passed away this past week, at the ripe old age of 85 years old. Are you familiar with Roy Clark? Do you have any of his records? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. Now, my extremely attractive audio engineer did not grow up watching Hee Haw on TV, but I did. And so I remember I'm a pickin' and I'm a grinning Roy Clark on Hee Haw since I was a little kid. And Roy Clark holds a special place in my heart. And Roy Clark is one of the figures in my life who convinced me to homeschool my children, believe it or not. Because when I was in fifth grade, my family moved from one part of the country to another part of the country. And so we were the enemy of everyone at our school, just because we were from somewhere else and we were new. And we had a weird accent. We were strange. And so everybody hated us. And I remember in fifth grade walking up the stairs of my middle school and walking into a large group of kids who were talking about going to the Kiss concert is what they were talking about. These were sixth graders and seventh graders, very intimidating. And I stood there and I listened to these kids talking for a little bit there about how great Kiss was, how talented they were. And I challenged one of the punks by alleging that Roy Clark was far better guitar player than Ace Frehley. Anyway, I never lived that down. I never heard the end of that until the time I graduated high school, six or seven or whatever years later. Never heard the end of that. And that was a formative experience in my life because I was, I believe I was attacked physically. I was verbally assaulted. I was made fun of and I was shunned. Pretty much for the rest of my public school career, I was shunned because I had said that Roy Clark was a better guitar player than Ace Frehley.
Who's not?
Well, now I realize, you see, that almost everyone who ever played guitar on any record is a better guitar player than Ace Frehley. But, might I say, and you go to YouTube yourself and just pull up one Ace Frehley solo and pull up Roy Clark playing anything at any time, even by accident. And you'll see that Roy Clark was an infinitely better guitar player. Not only was he an infinitely better guitar player than Ace Frehley, he was just a far better human being. He was a normal and decent human being back when you could be normal and decent and you could still have a television show and you could still entertain the country. And everyone had a few things, normal things that we all agreed upon. But that was before Kiss and Ace Frehley and the makeup and the blah. Doug McBurney, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us and for tuning in. And thank you to Roy Clark for all of that. All right, so let's see. wanted to, do I want to do this? Reason number 1,174. To get or keep your children out of the government schools. Number one, they might have to argue about who's a better guitar player. Some drug-addled freak. Or Roy Clark. But that's beside the point. Because in the end, they win the argument, see? So that's all right. That's not really the big deal. The big deal is Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. She's reason number 1,174 to get or keep your children out of the government schools because she's writing new rules. New rules on how schools will handle allegations of sexual assault and harassment. Why is she writing new rules? Because of the rampant sexual assaults and sexual harassment that occur in the government schools every day at an epidemic level. So we have new rules that she's writing. They stem from Title IX. Title IX. So the rules apply not only to universities and colleges, but to elementary and secondary schools. There we go. So I asked the question when I read the story, who gave Betsy DeVos and the federal government the authority to write rules for procedures that any normal person would assume were already covered under the criminal code? I mean, isn't there already a law against sexual assault? I thought we had laws against that. Aren't there laws against sexual harassment? Isn't this already covered somewhere else? This is all just make work. Betsy DeVos is one of the ultimate bureaucratic parasites who has attached herself to government and NGO fundraising for her entire adult career. She's qualified to do nothing at all. And and by the way, she's the conservative now. For all you suckers out there who vote Republican, Betsy DeVos is the conservative now. What happened there? Anyway, so and this is Betsy DeVos leading up yet another make work project for a society obsessed with sex, not just sex, obsessed with deviant sex. There's so much obsession with deviant sex that the Secretary of Education has to write rules on how we'll try to govern all the deviant sexual activity that's exploding and being vomited out on the students every day. All right. But, we got to keep Betsy busy. She could do some damage, I suppose. I guess she could do worse damage. I guess that story feeds right into this from Scotland, my lineage may be from Scots. I may be Scots. Maybe Irish. It's hard to say.
Not Asian.
I'm definitely not Asian, although my children are, oddly enough. I'm sure how that all happened, but anyway, there's a debate in our family on whether we're Scots or Irish. The last name is McBurney with the little C with a line under it and the big B. If that's a clue, maybe somebody can call. You can send me an email and tell me whether you think I'm Scots or Irish. McBurney. Anyway, all the warmongers in the family argue that we're Scots. All the alcoholics insist that we're Irish. It's an ongoing debate. It's been going on for generations. But let's go to Scotland from the Decline and Fall file. Schools in Scotland will soon be required to teach students LGBT history to prevent homophobia and transphobia and to encourage exploration of their gender identity. There will be no exemptions, no opt-outs. No, the schools will embed LGBTI. I? LGBTI? Well, they'll be embedding this type of education across the curriculum and across all subjects, mathematics, English, history, sports even. Anyway, so Scotland now, they're going to teach kids about deviant sex from as early an age as possible is what they're going to do. They're going to embed it into the math class and the physics and the... Well, if they even have those anymore. They might just have LGBTI class. By the way, I don't even know what I is. That appeared halfway through the article. It's like another gender popped up while the author was writing this article for WorldNet Daily. I, what is I? Inquiring, inquisitive? I don't know. All right. But here's what's shocking about all this. Actually, it's not shocking, although it probably is shocking for the average Republican, and it would have shocked me 20 years ago. So until 1980, get this. Until 1980, homosexuality was a crime in Scotland, and nobody talked about it. It wasn't discussed publicly. It was like all kinds of other nefarious criminal activity. It wasn't polite to talk about. Well, the homosexuals started pouring out of the closet in the 1970s all across Europe and Scotland, the United States, everywhere. And they insisted that we have to talk about it now. And in 1988, Scotland banned local authorities from promotion of homosexuality. So in 1988, the conservatives, not unlike Colorado in 1992, I think it was, maybe 93, 94, when Amendment 2 was voted on. Scotland in 1988 banned local authorities from promoting homosexuality. They passed a law. In Colorado, we passed an amendment here to our Constitution that said that you couldn't force someone to rent their house to a queer. That you couldn't force someone to hire a flaming dyke. And we thought we were winning, right? 1988, 1992. Isn't that uproariously laughable now that we thought we were winning at that point? And here's what I think that shows us. That as soon as a plurality of the people or the governing officials decide they're willing to tolerate a conversation on decriminalizing that which is criminal, well, from that day forward, it's just a matter of time until that criminal activity is made legal. If you don't stop people right in their tracks and say, no, we're not even going to discuss that. That's ludicrous and ridiculous that we're going to discuss promoting deviant sexual activity, homosexuality, all this other stuff. The day you even entertain a conversation that it's possible we can talk about changing that, you've already lost. By 1988, the conservatives thought they were winning. By 92 in Colorado, we were winning. But in fact, we had already been defeated by allowing the conversation to even take place. What should have happened is the advocates of the criminal behavior should have been arrested and charged with a crime and punished, and the conversation should have ended. But it didn't, because we're so nice. We're so tolerant. We're willing to be tolerant. And so they cowed us into tolerance. I don't know if they cowed us. I think we gave up. That's what I think. In fact, that leads to this story here. How the GOP gave up on porn is the headline. It's a Politico article. How the GOP gave up on porn. The article goes from the decline and fall file. By the way, I wrote in parentheses that, well, the headline is how the GOP gave up on porn, parentheses, except consuming it, is what I put that in parentheses. Anyway, the article goes from the 1970s, and I'll post a link to this, when pornography was a central issue in the conservative movement. It was central to the whole idea that civilization was in decline. Remember, led by Jerry Falwell, who went to court? Remember he went to court against Hustler and Penthouse? And you remember Jimmy Carter, who gave an interview to Playboy magazine, and how all the Republicans, all the conservatives lambasted Carter that he would dare to give an interview to a pornographic magazine? It shocked the country, at least the normal people. Well, that was 1976. Fast forward 40 years. We got Jerry Falwell Jr. tweeting out a picture of himself next to Donald Trump. Right? A picture of himself next to Donald Trump right before the election, and right over Falwell's shoulder is a picture of Trump on the cover of Playboy magazine. Grinning. Yeah, they were picking and grinning. Trump was grinning with his thumbs up. Yeah. So that's... And then Politico goes on to chronicle the, quote, total abandonment of pornography as a battleground in America's culture war, as indeed it has been. That field has been abandoned, at least as a battle in the culture war. And since then, since it's no longer an issue, the industry has exploded. All the top trafficked websites in the whole country are all pornography websites. And Politico is kind enough to point out that there are studies that say pornography has a deleterious influence on people predisposed to violence. It contributes to abusive relationships and the fracturing of families, which everybody laughed at. Everybody laughed at Jerry Falwell in the 70s when he said, look, this pornography is going to destroy the country. People are going to get killed. People are going to die. Jerry Falwell said people are actually going to get killed because of this. You don't even know what you're doing here. You don't know what you can't handle this. And people laughed at Jerry Falwell. He was an ignorant prude and a hick and a Bible thumper. Well, look into the family detonations and the murder suicides that are happening on a daily basis. The mass murder, everything from boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives killing one another. To the mass murderers out there, to just men treating women like dirt. Every point on the scale of intolerable activity can be traced to one degree or another to pornography. And everybody laughed about it. It was a big joke. Well, it's not a joke. It's criminal. And the idea that in the 1950s, the conservatives decided that they were willing to tolerate a conversation on whether or not this should be legal. Well, that was the end. Because instead of Hugh Hefner igniting a debate about whether or not it should have been legal, his door should have been kicked in. He should have been dragged out of his house in handcuffs, charged with a crime, and punished to the full extent of the law. End of conversation. How about that? That's what should have happened, but that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Because, why? Well, because people are generally inherently fallen. And civilizations tend on a trajectory from strength and prosperity to weakness and destitution. There's the same trajectory all throughout history. And we're somewhere in between the two. We're still very prosperous, still very strong. The guy on the cover of Playboy magazine's giving us jobs, jobs, jobs. Stock market's through the roof, baby. And everybody thinks we're winning. We're winning, baby. Are you tired of winning yet? Says the man on the cover of Playboy magazine. As Jerry Falwell Jr. now and all the other so-called evangelicals slobber all over themselves following the guy on Playboy magazine as he drags us through the field of bodies and broken homes and broken children and depression and drug abuse and alcoholism and suicide and death and bloodshed. Because everyone decided that maybe we could talk about the fact that possibly what everybody knew was criminal might not be so criminal anymore. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of the President of the United States, I mean the guy on Playboy. I mean the President of the United States. We have presidential news, number one. Joe Biden is officially running for president. How do I know that? Because the Washington Post did a story this week on his new dog. Joe Biden has a new dog. His name is Major. And there was a full spread in the newspaper. So Joe Biden is officially running for president. What else do we have from the president? Oh, John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot Ronald Reagan, the man who murdered James Brady, Reagan's press secretary, in an assassination attempt in 1981. Now, you remember how outraged I was when he was released from prison. And he was allowed to move into his mom's house because his mom says he's a great guy. Oddly enough. Plus, she's the only person who would take him. Everyone else was afraid that he might kill them. And his mom. Anyway, he's going to be allowed to move out of his mom's house. He's going to be allowed. But he is, don't worry, don't be upset. He's forbidden from contacting Jodie Foster. So we got that going for us. John Hinckley, Jr., shoot the president. Well, you know, you kill the press secretary and, you might not die in jail. That's the message. But hey, let's move on, ladies and gentlemen. We've got bigger fish to fry. Here at the McBurney compound, I got my first sex offender registry notification. It's not the first one since we moved out here into Never Never Land. But it's the first guy's actually within, he's just a few miles away. It is creeping me out. A 52-year-old man convicted of raping a child, sexual assault on a minor by a person in a position of trust. Well, it's a long, convoluted way to say he raped a child and he should be dead. But instead, he's living here in... we could run into him at the grocery store. They put a big old picture of his mug there. I got a picture of the guy. Anyway. No, I don't have it with me. No, this is a picture of every bureaucrat's nightmare. My extremely attractive audio engineer just looked over my shoulder and saw in my notes, I can't remember her name. Snipes, not Wesley Snipes, the bureaucrat in Florida who's doing the recount. I have to put her face up on the blog post today just because if you were to look up the term bureaucrat in the encyclopedia like 1,000 years from now, this picture will be there because that's it. That is a bureaucrat. Her name is, I can't remember her first name, something Snipes, the lady in charge of the Broward County recount. Just a shocking... I'm sorry, it's radio. I'll put a picture up so you folks can look. Do I want to talk about nationalism? Do I want to talk about patriotism? I really don't. I know I offended some people last week. Now, speaking of offending people, let's get to this fellow here in Chicago. From the Bold Religion File, Antonio Rockmore. He's the pastor at the Powerhouse International Ministries, and he was preaching the gospel last Sunday. Praise the Lord. When a man walked in on Antonio Rockmore's service, and there was a boy dressed up like a girl. And this is in Chicago, mind you. And Antonio Rockmore said to the young man, can you leave my church and go put on some man's clothes? And don't come in here like that no more. And people in the crowd cheered. It's like, praise Jesus. They were loving on this guy. It was great. He went on to say, I hold a standard in here, and I will not let drag queens come in here. If you're going to come on up in here, you're going to dress like a man. Said Antonio Rockmore, pastor, there at the... what's it called here? The Powerhouse International Ministries. I like it. The crowd cheered and said, amen, and thank you, Jesus. as they dragged the drag... Well, they didn't drag the drag queen out. He kind of slunk on out of there all ashamed of himself. Anyway, some queer posted it up on Facebook, and now it's been viewed 420,000 times by other queers and deviants and various garden variety sodomites and whatnot. And they're all freaked out that the pastor said to this guy, get out of my church if you're going to dress like a freak. There's a backlash that's occurring right now against Pastor Rockmore. And so what did Pastor Rockmore do? Well, if he was a Republican, he would have already apologized. He would have resigned his position from the church and would have already begun transgender surgery and hormone therapy. And I am so sorry. But not Antonio Rockmore, no. He appeared in a one-hour-long live video on his personal Facebook page in which he did not back down. All right. He said, I will not apologize. He knows this young man already. This young man was a member of his church. A young man who, according to Pastor Rockmore, when this young man joined the congregation, he told us he joined because he wanted to be shown how to be a man, how to become a man. And so Pastor Rockmore has been working with this young man on how to help him become a man. And part of that means you don't dress up in women's clothes. He says the young man came into church. He challenged me publicly, so I challenged him back. And I'm not going to back down. And by the way, this ain't none of y'all's business. How about that? Get out my church. This ain't none of y'all's business. Now, Mr. Rockmore has, they have rules at their church. Now, I'm not legalistic. I believe in the grace message, but I kind of like Mr. Rockmore's rules. Number one, he has a rule that you men cannot dress up like women. That's a rule at his church. Another rule, women can't wear the spandex leggings and the yoga pants at church. I like that. He says that's disrespectful to wear clothes like that. So, I mean, there's a fine line between legalism and just some common sense, and I think that Pastor Rockmore has successfully negotiated that line. No spandex and no dressing up like women, and he doesn't back down, and this ain't none of y'all's business anyhow. This is between him and the young man who he's trying to help. So get on out of here with that. I like it. All right, now, let's see. Move on to... you know what I want to, first I want to talk a little bit about the theory of evolution, Darwinian evolution. Because we got a little lesson in Darwinian evolution here at the McBurney compound, where of course we homeschool our children. So every day is a school day. Every minute you're at to school, and it's all a learning experience, whether it's official or not. So here at the McBurney compound, we went to dispose of a couple of roosters, and if you've listened to the show, you know that I was prepared to do my masculine duty and kill these roosters. And I was willing to not only kill them, but to gut them and to remove the feathers and fry them up and do the whole thing. But I was persuaded that the thing to do would be to take them to a rooster, like a home for roosters. So there's a place here out on the plains of Colorado where you can drop off your rooster and then you just don't think about it anymore. And you just imagine that they're having a fine life. And they are having a fine life, I'm sure. So we went up there to drop off the roosters. Because if you've ever had any chickens, I can tell you, and you should know, that you can only have so many roosters, and we had too many. We had far more than two too many, but I was able to persuade the women of the house to get rid of at least two roosters. It's a start. So we took the roosters up and we dropped them off. And while we were dropping off the roosters with our fine neighbors, we noticed that they had a couple of Tennessee fainting goats. Tennessee fainters, they're called. Have you seen this? You should Google this up and watch a video on Tennessee fainting goats. When these goats get excited and when they're being chased, they run. And then when they get a little too scared, they stop, they freeze, and they fall over and they pass out. It's something to watch, Tennessee fainting goat. And now we have two of them. They're about a year old, and they're cute. Boy, they're gorgeous, huh? Those are some good-looking goats. We bought them on the spot. And my extremely attractive audio engineer and I We were remarking on the way back to the compound as we started our career together about 30 years ago. We were like, did you ever think, could we ever thought that 30 years ago, would we have ever thought that we would do like some spontaneous goat purchasing? Huh? That we would buy a goat or two, totally unannounced and unplanned. We left the house, yada, yada, yada. We came home with two Tennessee fainting goats. Needless to say, we never thought about that, never would have thought about that 30 years ago. But now we got the fainters, folks. And if you watch the video on YouTube, you will see that the Tennessee fainting goats defy Darwinian evolution altogether and completely. I mean, think about it. Darwinian evolution is based on natural selection to determine the survival of the fittest. Right? For all you people who matriculated in the government schools, we all heard it, right? First of all, the teacher said, now I just want to let you know that this is just a theory. We're just presenting this as a theory. It's just something to think about. It's just something to consider. It's only a theory. A theory is what my seventh grade science maniac. This is all just a theory. And they had to take a test on it. And if you didn't knuckle down to the theory and answer it as if it were a fact, you get an F on your paper. Anyway, that was, I think, sixth or seventh grade. That was the only time my dad said it's okay if you get an F. Because I wasn't going to even act like I bought that theory. But the theory was that there was nothing and it exploded. And then life evolved up out of, like, from the goo through the zoo to you and all of that, right? We all heard the theory. Natural selection, the survival of the fittest, right? The selfish gene would choose the traits that would allow the survival of the creature, and the creatures who didn't develop the advanced traits through natural selection would die out, and the fitter species would dominate the landscape. It's all just a theory, but we want you to think about it. By the time you're in 12th grade, they're telling you your mom and dad and your pastor are morons. They're idiots. If you believe any of that creation stuff, all those stories, you're a moron and a fool. I went to college. I got a degree. I got 2 degrees, communications and education. I'm smart. Your dad's a moron. Your mom's stupid. Your pastor's a fool. He's a Bible-thumping fundamentalist idiot. Right? Seventh grade, it was all just a theory by the time he grad. Anyway, so we're all familiar with the theory of Darwinian evolution. So explain to me this. Explain to me this, okay? How is it that the ability for these goats, how is it that the ability to suddenly stop and fall over while being chased by a predator be of any value toward the survival of the species? Doug McBurney, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, so good to have you with us. Gotta catch my breath after that one every time. Whew, man. Anyway. But I'm a little bit worn out because I spent the day. Well, first of all, Saturday here in Colorado, it rained ice on everything all day until everything was covered with ice. So I know you people in, I think, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Northern Alabama, you know what I'm talking about with the ice. We had it here. So Saturday was a washout. Couldn't do anything except go get some Tennessee fainting goats, which we risked our lives to go get these goats. That's how desperate I was to get rid of those roosters. So I was willing to risk my life driving on a sheet of ice. So anyway, today the sun came out. It was glorious. And here on the farm, I mean, you got to make hay when the sun shines, so to speak. And so we had to install a gutter system on the chicken buffet. In the chicken run. We have a chicken buffet. It's almost like a sneeze guard, but it's against the sun and the rain and the snow. And I had to put in a gutter system because my extremely attractive audio engineer pointed out that my design of the original chicken buffet meant that when the snow melted, the water dripped down upon the chickens' backs as they tried to eat. And that's not acceptable, and I agree. So we installed a gutter system farmer style. You know what farmer style is? That's when you make do with whatever is at hand that is free. And I found an old pipe in the barn, and I cut it in half, and now it was a gutter. Now it's a gutter. And so it cost me zero, not a nothing. I was going to go spend $200 on actual gutters. It would have cost me $200 because I don't know what I'm buying anyway. That cost me nothing. Zero. Yes. And I still have some of that pipe in the barn. If I need more gutters, hey, I'm covered. All right. So there you go. So do we want to talk about nationalism? I may have offended you people when I said that I'm not a big fan of nationalism. And I know that the guy on Playboy, he's a nationalist. And so we're all supposed to just rah-rah. He's a nationalist. All right. So anyway. I never watched, what was the television? He had a television show before he did the Playboy interview. Or maybe that was while he did the Playboy interview. The Apprentice. I never watched it. I never watched it because I always found Donald Trump to be an annoying buffoon. That's I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't mean to be sacrilegious for all you religious people out there. Who are such big fans of the guy on Playboy. Anyway, I'm sorry, but he said he's a nationalist. Here's the thing, folks. So I'm not saying that nationalism is inherently evil. What I'm saying is nationalism is dangerous. Nationalism and populism are dangerous. These are two things, especially in combination, that mankind has proven over and over again for the last 5,000 years that we cannot handle it. We end up butchering our fellow man in other nations at the end of the day once the nationalism and the populism comes out. I'm sorry. It's what it is. You can't handle it because people are generally sinful and fallen. And the last thing we need is a rabble-rouser from the cover of Playboy magazine. Whipping everyone up into a frenzy with populist talk. It's just dangerous. It never ends well. And I don't think that we're wise enough and strong enough and righteous enough to rise above the violent instincts that nationalism and populism tend to stir up. I don't think we're good enough to... I'm sorry. I know. America first. America first. All he's doing is putting America first. America first. How about stop killing your children first, America? How about that? Then I might be. And then don't talk to me about patriotism, okay? I don't need a lecture on what it means to be a patriot. Well, all he is a patriot. Maybe you're not a patriot. Maybe you're with Nancy Pelosi. Is that what it is? You voted for Hillary. Yeah. They tell me that on Facebook. Oh, you voted for Hillary, huh? You're not a patriot. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I mean, I know where I stand as far as patriotism. I mean, I volunteered to march into fire for my country when I was a young, ignorant man. Now, tell me what Alex Jones did, huh? Brian Kilmeade, did he put on a uniform? Sean Hannity? Huh? Donald Trump? Hello? I mean, come on. You want to talk about who's a patriot? All right. Anyway, I'll leave it aside because I know I'm offending people. Let's instead move to the politics file, where up in New York, in Bath, New York, the Associated Press reports, New York police say that a couple has racked up nearly $10,000 in unpaid utility bills and credit card debt using the names and identities of their own children. That's right. They've destroyed the credit rating of their children in order to rack up bills today. I wonder where they learned that. Now, the funny thing is, while the congressmen and the senators have been doing this for the better part of two generations, get off scot-free, in fact, they retire quite comfortably, these two are facing fraud charges for stealing from their children, oddly enough. When they get to court, they should say, hey, we're just cutting out the middleman. That's all. What, are you upset that we didn't give the senators and the congressmen their cut? We just took the money directly from our kids. We're entrepreneurs. We're just more efficient than our congressman, governor, mayor, city council. Anyway, the children were unaware of the whole scheme until one of them grew up and got old enough to apply for a loan and realized that his parents had become legislators. Oh, well, no, they were actually fraudsters and thieves, is what the parents were. If you're elected, you call yourself a legislator, a public servant, as a matter of fact. He served. So proud that he serves his country as he robs grandchildren and great-grandchildren blind. Huh? To give Narcan and syringes to junkies and losers, and to give liver transplants and diabetes pills to old people. Either way, they're robbing the children and the grandchildren, okay? How about that? All right, let's see here. Do I want to do the justice? Here we go, the justice system file. We've got Fort Worth, Texas, an inmate at the Tarrant County Jail. Ended up in a cell with an accused child molester. Yeah. David Faustino Flores ended up in the cell with Clinton Don Simpson. Flores is a petty thief. He was an accused petty thief. Clinton Don Simpson was an accused child molester. To make a long story short, The petty criminal beat the accused child molester to death in his cell. Yeah, Flores says, look, I'm schizophrenic, and I told people that I didn't like being with anybody, especially this guy. He said that the child molester would whisper things to him that gave him the heebie-jeebies. So you don't want to give the heebie-jeebies to a guy who's a schizo nut job because, well, he beat the child molester to death. See, the system works. So from time to time, Simpson was accused in 2007 of molesting 12 children. Well, he was accused of it, and he was in jail. I don't know why it was taking so long to adjudicate this thing. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Why he's not in prison, we know why he's not dead in 2018. Because somewhere along the line, the lawyers who are robbing our grandchildren also made us agree that we would tolerate child molesters. I'm not sure when that happened, but that's why he's not dead. But why he's not in prison, I don't know. Why is he still on trial in 2018 when he was accused in 2007? The story doesn't go into it, but there we have it. He operated Mr. Don's Whistle Stop, a miniature train station, in his backyard. And he was, So the justice system was obviously unable to adjudicate the molester in an expeditious fashion. So to grinding on for 10 years, along comes a schizo nutcase who got the heebie-jeebies and yada, yada, yada. See, the system works. The child molester is dead And the schizo, well, he's... I might have done it, whether I was mentally deranged or not, yeah. I mean, you put me in a cell with a child molester. And then he gives me the heebie-jeebies. That's the last, yeah. All right, now, let's see here. Let's see, I don't want to do this. What do I want to do here? No, come on. No. Let's see, how do we want to end the show? Because we're almost at the end. I have enough stuff here I could do another show easily. How about London? From the Decline and Fall file, murders in London this year, already here in early November, matched the whole of 2017. And they're having a debate, you see, on how to tackle rising crime.
Do you have a gun?
Oh, no, certainly not. No, there's no guns. 118 homicides in London this year, 68 stabbings, 12 shootings, and 2 deaths involving a knife and a gun. Extremely creative. Let's see, they're illegal, but the Home Secretary, in response to the atrocious numbers of murders, is expected to announce enhanced stop-and-search powers. The Metropolitan Police, the spokesman says the failure to introduce facial recognition technology has left officers hamstrung and led to a dramatic increase in murders. The failure to introduce facial recognition technology, she says.
What is that? Oh, that's a woman?
Yes, that's the... I'm sorry, that's Cressida Dick. Cressida Dick is a commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. And she's demanding facial recognition technology as one of the obvious things to solve the murder epidemic. Anyway, is it racist and sexist to... Oh, by the way, the Home Secretary is Sajid Javid. So is it racist and sexist to point out that to point out one's disappointment, at least, that Britain appears to be being governed by Muslims and women while they're collapsing into obscurity? And is it sexist and racist for me to just point that out? I mean, just to say that it's a shame that there are no real men left in Britain to run the place. Is it? I guess it is. I guess I'm sexist and racist. Let's point that out. But I'm going to go ahead and point it out because I don't really care what you people think. All right? I have... here we go. Let's see. Maybe we'll end with this. As I said, I have enough material here to... I could go on and on and on, but... No, I don't want to do the swatting, do I? This guy, you remember the story on the swatting? The California guy got into an argument with a guy in Wichita, Kansas. They were playing video games. And there was a bet, $1.50 bet. I remember reporting on this story. They had a bet for $1.50, and somehow the one video gamer out in California... He called the police in Wichita, where this other gamer was, who he was mad at, and he told the police there was a shooting and a kidnapping occurring at this other gamer's address. And so the SWAT team showed up. Well, the guy from California had the address wrong, number one. So the police showed up, and some guy who had nothing to do with anything answered the door and was shot and killed by the police. He opened the door, he didn't obey immediately, and they shot him. And so now what should happen to this 26-year-old punk in California who swatted this guy? Is it not obvious that he should be put to death? If you didn't say he should be put to death, you're not qualified to determine whether or not a discussion is even worthy of discussion. If you didn't immediately raise your hand and say he should be put to death, you've disqualified yourself from participating in the discussion of how exactly we run this place. That's all. You're not qualified. He should be put to death. But instead, he made a plea deal. And he pled to 51 charges so that the district attorney has a whole bunch of charges he can add to his... I don't know if they put notches on their law books or whatever they do there. So He pled to all these charges, and he's not going to be put to death. In fact, he's going to be educated and medicated, and he's going to live on the... All right, so what else? All right, so why'd the police kill the guy in the swatting? Because they're operating basically in a war zone. I've got a report here from Breitbart. Chicago, a group of men were asked to leave a bar in Chicago. One of the men came back, started shooting. So an armed security guard returned fire, then went outside to hold the suspect for police. Had the suspect on the ground, had his knee in his back, told him, "Don't move, the police are coming." But when the police came, because it's a war zone in Chicago, they shot and killed the security guard. They saw the security guard pointing a gun at someone, they shot him and killed him. Because somewhere along the line, we decided that the things we all agreed were normal and that we all agreed on, that we've thrown them all out. Everything from a murderer will be put to death, a child molester will be put to death, to now we're debating whether or not a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl and all of that. And that's why these people are being killed. And that's why the preacher from the 70s that everyone laughed at, he was right. People are actually going to die because of all of this. Because of all of it. All right, that's the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and AmericanRightToLife.com. I want to thank my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. And should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.